world this week? Politics.
In her first foray to the Middle East as America's Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton confirmed the new American administration's intention to change tack. In Egypt, she said she would provide $900 million for reconstruction in the Gaza Strip. In Israel, she contradicted the probable incoming Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, by reaffirming America's support for a two-state solution for Israel and Palestine. And in a sign of warming relations with Syria, she also said she would send two emissaries to Damascus.
Barack Obama said he would withdraw American troops from Iraq by September 2010, but he might leave a residual force of up to 50,000 there longer to help train Iraqis and to engage in counter-terrorism if need be.
The International Criminal Court in The Hague issued an arrest warrant for Sudan's President Omar al-Bashir on charges of crimes against humanity committed in Sudan's Darfur region. A request by the ICC's chief prosecutor for a further indictment for genocide was rejected in a split decision by the presiding judges. Sudan said it would not cooperate and expelled 10 foreign aid agencies.
Another special tribunal in The Hague, set up by the UN to try people suspected of killing Lebanon's former Prime Minister, Rafik Hariri, formally got going. The court may wait until after Lebanon's general election in June, before asking its government to transfer four generals already held in connection with the killing.
João Bernardo Vieira, president of Guinea-Bissau, was assassinated by soldiers loyal to the head of the army who had been killed shortly before.
At a summit in Brussels, European Union leaders rejected a plea by Hungary for a huge rescue package for Eastern Europe. The Hungarians talked darkly of a new Iron Curtain being created, a fear reinforced when a European commissioner admitted days later to plans to rescue euro-area countries in difficulty.
As further evidence of America's desire to press the reset button with Russia, it emerged that Barack Obama had written privately to his Russian counterpart, Dmitry Medvedev, about missile defences and Iran. NATO also agreed to reopen ministerial contacts with Russia, frozen since last year's war in Georgia.
America said it would stay away from a UN conference on racism, due to take place in April in Geneva, on the ground that it would be biased against Israel. Canada and Israel have already pulled out.
A fresh trial began in Moscow of Mikhail Khodorkovsky, the former owner of Yukos, an oil company, on charges of money laundering. Observers predicted that Mr. Khodorkovsky, who has been in jail ever since falling out with the Kremlin in 2003, could receive another lengthy jail sentence.
Nationalist parties did badly in the Basque and Galician elections in Spain. In the Basque country, non-nationalists won a majority of seats for the first time in 30 years.
Britain's Gordon Brown became the first European leader to meet Barack Obama in the White House. He later addressed Congress. Both leaders talked up the strong relationship between the two countries, though skeptics noted Mr. Obama's decision not to hold a joint press conference. The president issued a statement saying how much he enjoyed the prime minister's visit.
Cuba's president, Raúl Castro, shuffled his cabinet, sacking the long-serving foreign minister and cabinet secretary. In the United States, Harry Reid, the Senate majority leader, said a measure to soften sanctions against Cuba, which has already passed in the House, could pass his chamber too.
Canada's economy shrank at an annualized rate of 3.4% in the fourth quarter of 2008, its worst performance since 1991. Its current accounts swung into deficit for the first time since the second quarter of 1999.
Venezuela's president, Hugo Chavez, sent troops to seize the country's privately owned rice mills, accusing them of disobeying his price controls. Argentina's government rattled farmers by talking of creating a state-backed agency to control grain prices.
Gunmen in Lahore, in Pakistan's Punjab province, attacked a bus carrying the Sri Lankan cricket team to an international match. Six policemen and two others were killed in the subsequent shooting. A number of cricketers were injured. The team returned home and the cricket series was cancelled.
Sri Lanka's government rejected calls from the rebel Tamil Tigers for a ceasefire to allow peace talks. The International Red Cross gave warning of an impending humanitarian disaster involving up to 150,000 civilians trapped by the fighting in the thin sliver of northeastern Sri Lanka remaining under rebel control.
India announced that a general election will be held in five stages from April the 16th to May the 13th, with the count on May the 16th. More than 828,000 polling stations will cater for 714 million registered voters.
The government of Bangladesh said it would press charges against mutineers from the Bangladesh Rifles, whose rebellion in late February killed 74 people.
Hamid Karzai, Afghanistan's president, said he wanted a presidential election to be held in April, as required under the constitution. The election commission, however, overruled him, upholding an earlier postponement until August.
Barack Obama said he recognized that opponents would be gearing up for a fight over his $3.6 trillion budget. Republicans decried the cost of all the new spending and cast doubt on the savings that the administration said it expected to make.
Mr. Obama nominated Kathleen Sebelius as health secretary, his second choice following the withdrawal of Tom Daschle. Mrs. Sebelius, the Democratic governor of Kansas, a solidly Republican state, will be involved in pushing health care reform through Congress. The budget seeks a health fund of $630 billion.
John McCain's attempt to reduce earmarks in an omnibus spending bill was defeated in the Senate. The senator has long promised to rein back legislators' pet projects. Two Democratic senators said they would now not vote for the bill because of the earmarks.